Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world. Hey guys, welcome back to Unpacking Design. Today's topic is something that I love asking all other architects and designers and just people that I admire. And it's a question that reveals a lot about a person in my perspective.
Uh-oh.
So today, I'd like to unpack a day in the life. So what is a day in your life like, Mike? You know, from the time that you wake up on a typical Monday to Friday to the time you go to sleep, what do you pack into a day?
Well, yeah, think about this a little bit. So are we talking about just an average day or like a day that's most common, or are we talking about like crazy days?
The most common day. I don't think it's worth knowing too much about like a crazy day. I think as a person, knowing what a common day for you is like.
Sure. So I think the thing that I want to preface this with is that this has taken, you know, several years of practice, and there's been a whole bunch of different iterations, but this is sort of the groove that I'm in right now.
Okay.
I get up around anywhere between 6 and 7 a.m., and I will, right now, actually, it's very timely that we're talking about this. I used to have breakfast in the morning, but right now I'm intermittent fasting, so my common thing that I'm doing right now is getting up, having like 32 ounces of water, and having a coffee, and getting ready for the day. That's pretty boring just because like I don't have kids, so like the only thing I'm actually dealing with in the morning really is like we have a bunch of animals, so like I'm taking the dog out, I'm feeding our cats and Dexter the dog, and just kind of spending a little bit of time to myself to sort of, I don't know, wake up and not doing anything particularly productive or creative. I've done that in the mornings before and it's been good, but recently I found that I do a lot of my creative stuff later in the day. So go to work. Work is about 20 to 30 minutes away. We live in the suburbs outside of Buffalo. So what I do typically is I will have a never-ending series of podcasts that I'm listening to. So the thing that kind of gets my sort of creative brain going is I will listen to interviews, or I'll listen to, it doesn't even have to relate to architecture or design. It could just relate to things I'm interested in, video games or whatever, just to kind of almost unwind before all of the craziness of the day kind of happens. Mm-hmm. And just to sort of almost become awake.
Yeah. Time-wise, so you wake up at 6, you said? 6:30?
Yeah.
And then by the time you leave to drive out and listen to podcasts, what time do you usually head out?
It takes about 45 minutes to an hour to like really sort of have everything happen.
Yeah.
One of the things I didn't mention that I heard somebody say, and I forgot to mention this when we were just talking, is so I in our bedroom I have a if it's in the warmer months I'll have a fan. If it's in the colder months, we actually have a space heater. Mm-hmm. I don't do that because I necessarily need either of them, but I found that I need almost like a some sort of noise in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. To like if it's dead quiet, I can't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so like when I, like right now, because it's more of the colder months, I'll turn that off, the space heater, and I'll walk outside with Dexter, and I'll actually like physically touch the ground with my feet. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who said it on a podcast, but there's just like this like inherent sort of like wake up that happens when mm-hmm. you like physically touch the ground like barefoot. Like yeah. It doesn't even matter like, okay, I mean, it's not as comfortable when it's like snowy out, but it's something that like really does immediately wake you up, especially yeah. if you've been kind of in this groggy, almost like hibernated state. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it takes about 30, 40, I mean, Dexter on his own takes like 10 minutes to just go outside and mm-hmm. hang out. So I get ready for the day. I'm in my car listening to the podcast. I'll either usually pick up the coffee at that point, or I'll have had it before I get in the car. I get to work, and the first thing that I usually do is I will check email. I've become very much a stickler that when I'm at home, I don't check email, like work email.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've gotten into a bad habit before of not having the separation of work and home.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I do is check to see if there's any fires I need to immediately take care of, especially mm-hmm. because I'm managing a lot of projects. And sort of like the one of the leaders on that project or those projects, I'm usually the one that has to deal with any kind of management issues. Mm-hmm. So if there is something that happens, usually I'm taking care of that or writing more emails or trying to figure out what the problem is. And then over time, I found that people on my team will get in usually after me. And as they come in, and that's mostly because one thing I found that's really interesting is like when you don't have kids, your schedule is kind of whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you know people who have kids or you start to have kids, your schedule is like not really your own.
Yeah.
So a lot, like one of the guys on my team, he has kids, so I don't see him until like an hour and a half until after I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But as people sort of filter in, I work with them to figure out like, okay, well, what is the next thing that we need to deal with today? What is the next, not necessarily a fire, but like what is the next step of mm-hmm. how we sort of tackle whatever thing we're working on? And usually it's a pretty straightforward working on either designs or working on where I am in my career right now is much more management based than mm-hmm. it was maybe a couple of years ago. So my day to day is working with consultants, working with an owner, working with other team members to really just get projects done and mm-hmm. kind of out the door. And that'll happen for most of the morning. Usually I'll have some kind of meeting that happens either with the team or that's scheduled for that day with consultants or whoever, and then I go to lunch. And the thing that I've found that's really helpful for me when I go to lunch is that I almost never just have lunch.
Yeah.
I found the thing that's like sort of set me apart and helped me a lot is when you realize that lunch is just another half an hour to an hour, but it's your half an hour to an hour, you can do so much to either learn or do something that will, yes, break up the rest of the day, but also become sort of like a way for you to extend yourself. So like what I've been doing recently is actually watching course videos for a Revit course that mm-hmm. somebody had given me before, and I just sort of got back into it. And I found that video while you're eating is like really, you know, it's like when you're at home and you're just maybe eating in front of the TV and mm-hmm. you're watching Netflix or whatever. It's the same idea, but I'm multitasking in a way that is also beneficial to me.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not just sitting there hanging out. I feel like I'm actually I'm doing something that's enjoyable but also helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I'll get back into things. The first half of my day, I really try to get as much of what I really need to get done that day done almost like as a little like test for me before lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the second half of my day, I leave open for more creative things, things that I either need to sketch or I need to work on that are a little bit more open-ended, because at that point in the day, especially with the clients that we work with that are schools related, I found that our owners and clients that we work with are much more tuned in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just naturally something I've recognized as like a pattern that's developed over the couple of years that I've worked at the firm that I'm at. And so I typically will use that afternoon time for those creative endeavors, because it's when people are either, you know, like schools letting out or they're getting into other meetings and they're just not as tuned in. So email doesn't make as much sense during mm-hmm. that time. And I found that a lot more people in the office they're more likely to be more relaxed and easygoing as the day goes on. So having more communications internally in the office tends to be a little bit easier as well. These are patterns that may change from job to job, but I found that at least where I'm working, it seems to work out pretty well. And then anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe a little bit after, but I've really been very strict with myself to not leave any later than 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's sort of like church and state. It's like trying to figure out what your home life is versus your work life.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends on when I get into the office, but never later than really 5:30. And at least 3 or 4 days out of the week, I go to the gym. So if it's a gym day, I'll go there for an hour. It helps me to do that at the end of the day because I played around with morning and evening, but I found that the evening time for me worked out so much better because it was a way to release tension or like almost like take the day and the problems or the issues that I was dealing with throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of like wash them away.
Yeah,
and it's much more of a cathartic feeling than it is a maintenance feeling for me. For people who, you know, maybe exercise every day and just need that sort of high from exercising, I use it more as a release of tension, mm-hmm. a way to de-stress. So even if it's not a typical gym day, I'll typically have my gym bag in my car so that if I do just naturally want to go to the gym, I'll just be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
Get home. I've actually been finding that I'll make my lunch for myself more often than actually going out during the day because it allows me more time to learn and do those mm-hmm. things. Like if I go out and I try to go get my lunch, even if it's a healthy lunch somewhere, I'm spending that time from my mm-hmm. lunchtime to do that, and it takes too much time mm-hmm. out of, you know, whatever my other activity is. Whereas I will find that it's actually easier for me to pick something up usually in the evening than it is for me to cook something because it's just worked. That's the cadence that's kind of mm-hmm. happened. So I'll go get something from Panera for Jess and me, or I'll it doesn't even really matter. I'll get something so that we can kind of have more of an evening for ourselves. Mm-hmm. It takes away less of the evening time that's left over.
Yeah, and by this time, what time is it usually?
Usually it's around 6:30,
okay.
And then so I'm actually like the rest of my evening really starts at like 7,
mm-hmm.
and that's the time where we've talked about it a lot, where I will usually go and it depends on what day it is, but if it's a me time, I'll hang out and watch TV with Jess, or we'll do something, or I will use that day as a work day, and it just feels like there are some days where the work never ends,
mm-hmm.
But it's like where the personal creative stuff happens. So like I will write most of my stuff for Evolving Architect in the evenings. I will do a lot of social media in the evenings. I will figure out and brainstorm and plan a lot in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tapping into something that I've just recognized over time is that even though it probably, by all these studies and all these ways of being more efficient, it probably does make more sense to be creative in the morning, I found that just waking up and getting all of the stuff that I need to sort of from the morning till that evening time is the best for me. And not worrying about when I'm going to do my extra stuff. I've always been more of a night owl anyway. Mm-hmm. And I will go to like a cafe, like a Tim Hortons or a Starbucks, and just be there for like 2 or 3 hours and work on a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been doing recently that's helped a lot too is I will stop eating or drinking, mostly snacking, after like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that has allowed me also to sort of get to sleep easier because mm-hmm. I noticed that I was probably snacking a little bit too much, and I would be up until, there have been periods in my life or seasons in my life where I've been up until midnight or 1 mm-hmm. and still gotten up at like 6 or 7, and that isn't really healthy for me. I've just kind of recognized that doesn't work. So I found that in the last couple of months, I've been very good to myself, which is probably you know, it, I'm happy to have myself just be able to say that, but like I found that even though I might have had less time to work on the extra stuff that I like working on, like Evolving Architect or Paperwork or whatever, or even, you know, editing this podcast or whatever, it makes me more well-rounded for the entire day.
Yeah. So from the time you wake up at 6, what time do you go to sleep at night?
Anywhere between 10:30 and 11.
Okay.
So and that's where the waking up between 6 and 7 kind of comes in. So like if I'm closer to 11, I'll wake up probably more to 7. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to bed closer to 10, I'll just, you know, I have like four, that's the one thing I didn't say, is I have like four or five alarms on my phone in the morning. So I kind of, before I go to bed, I kind of tell myself, okay, this is kind of when I want to wake up, so that I don't even have to really think about it. If I want to sleep in another 15 to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. I can, because I've told myself this is when you're going to wake up.
Yeah.
I lead a very, very, I don't want to call it boring life right now, but I have scheduled out a lot of the time in these sort of modular pieces in a way where work in an architecture office hasn't become, you know, there were times in my life where it would be the only thing I focused on, and then I didn't focus on anything else. I didn't go to the gym. I didn't spend time at home. I would just be in and out of the office, and that's mm-hmm. all I did. I have much more of a cadence, I think is the best way to describe it, of like when things roughly happen. I'm not super strict about it, except for the fact that I have to leave the office by this time, and I have to kind of go to bed at this time. Mm-hmm. I found that if I work within general ranges for myself, that tends to be like the best way to moderate everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's been like little tweaks that I'm playing around with. Like I said, I started intermittent fasting this month, and it's been great. You know, I've gone on all sorts of different sort of like health plans or diets and things like that. But you know, when you recognize things about yourself and you can kind of tweak them, you know, like snacking was a big issue for me, so I cut that out. Mm-hmm. And now I'm feeling lighter and better, and it's actually, I'm finding more benefits throughout the day of doing that. And I think that, you know, even after I do this 30-day challenge, I'll probably just keep doing it, mm-hmm. because it's just naturally becoming a better fit for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's generally my day. And the things that happen in the evening, I think, are really where I get to play around and I get to, you know, kind of mix things up. Like there will be days where I'm just listening to podcasts, or I'm hanging out with Jess, or I'm just doing whatever I want. There's days where I'm just not creative at all. I just say, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I'm just going to be my own person and kind of do what I want. Mm-hmm. There'll be evenings where I'll just play video games. Yeah. And I feel like that last half of the day is really mine. And I've just taken a little bit more ownership day to day of like what, I don't even have like a weekly schedule anymore. Mm-hmm. I just have like a, what does today feel like for me? Mm-hmm. You know, if I feel like maybe I get to work and it's all over the place and I'm just like, I need to go to the gym, that's going to kind of dictate the rest of my day. And, you know, some days I don't feel like going to the gym at all. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to the gym today. Mm-hmm. And I found that a day in the life for me has just changed with the different kinds of seasons that I'm in throughout my life. There, like I said, there have been times where work was more important, and now I'm in a season where my health and my overall balance and harmony of my life is way more important to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It's very telling, and there are a lot of fascinating things in there that I personally am interested in, but it's interesting to hear what happens in someone's life throughout an entire common day.
Yeah.
Because it's all about habits. Everything that you're doing in that day is about habits or work, right? Yeah. And it's like it's all the little things that when you can talk about your overall day in that time frame and explain it to someone else, there are so many other things that could be modified or changed that people typically will say out loud, and then they're like, oh, I could change that.
Yeah.
You know, why is it that I do this?
Right.
And then just comparing it to your own, like, I always feel like I don't have such a healthy lifestyle or whatever, but as I start to think about it, I think I have a different way of living my life in the sense of like working out or eating than someone else. And it's not necessarily healthier. It's just because the habits I've built over time.
So maybe in a, I mean, you can choose to do this in an abbreviated way or the same longer form that I just did. What does a day look like in Tim Ong's life?
So for me, I wake up every day by 6:30 at the latest. Even if I'm really tired the day before, I somehow, like on Friday nights, right, I'll feel really tired and I'm like, now's my time to catch up on sleep. I'll still wake up naturally by 6:30.
Yeah.
And then I have to get out of bed and do something. On weekdays, on a common day, I wake up at 6:30 and the first thing I do, this is probably not the best thing, but I grab my phone. And what I do is I look for educational things to learn from in the morning at 6:30. So I look for inspirational videos on Facebook about people that I admire or about, you know, like there's a lot of those little clips that explain people's lives or like it's like goals or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll review that to like give me some morning inspiration. I'll do that for like 15 minutes. And then for the next 15 minutes, I usually have Instagram open, going through all the different leather projects from leather workers that I admire, looking at what they're doing. And then I spend 5 minutes looking at my friends' feeds and seeing what's new with my friends who love to share their life, right? And then after that, I get out of bed after 20 minutes in bed. I get out of bed at like 6:50. I take a morning shower to wake up. That's like my daily routine. I have to shower, and if I don't, then the day is shot. I can't do anything. So I take a shower, get out, and cook breakfast. So every morning I cook breakfast. Andrea and I share the lunch-making activities, so we make lunches from scratch.
Wow.
And then while she's making lunch, I'm cooking breakfast, or while she's cooking breakfast, I'm making lunch. We let the dog out in the yard, or we walk the dog. And then we eat breakfast, and by 7:30 we're out the door, and then she doesn't drive, and Buffalo is still kind of a place where you have to drive to get around. So I drop her off at school, and then she's finishing up her PhD, so she goes there. And as soon as I drop her off, I switch on, put on some audiobooks on my phone, and then I drive to work. So it takes about 30 minutes. I get in office by about 8 o'clock, and at 8 I go through my emails to find the biggest tasks that are still out there that haven't been done yet.
Right.
And I've been working on the construction side of architecture for a long time now. So I find those big tasks and I focus on those first. How do I get these out the door, and how do I get them out the door now? If I have to coordinate with a consultant, I make a phone call. I let them know, hey, can I get this in an hour, in 2 hours? Get all that information, compile it, send it all out. After that, I look for other tasks from bigger to smaller. So whatever the small tasks are, those wait until the end of the day. Yep. The big tasks I get done now. So by the afternoon, most of the big tasks are out. And then most of the time I go out to the project site, take a look around, see if there's anything that needs any help.
Sure.
And then I come back, sit down, finish up all the minor tasks, and by 4:30 I'm out the door. I usually work through lunch, but I have like a salad for lunch. So I work through it because I usually leave a little earlier than most people, and I don't want them to feel like it's unfair that I leave early, but I show up early too. So then I leave at 4:30, and I made that very stringent. Like, there's never a time that I don't leave by 4:30 now.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more pressing that needs to get done after that time.
Yep.
If there's a deadline roaming, we should have planned ahead. And if we didn't plan ahead, then it's not on me, right? No one can ever say it's on you if something fell apart.
Right.
So I leave at 4:30, go straight home, pick up Andrea on the way home, get back to the house by like 5, and then we change and go to the gym.
Do you go to the gym like every day?
If not the gym, I always exercise.
Yep.
I do take 1 or 2 days off because I need to let my body heal.
Right.
Something I learned over time. And as soon as I get to the gym, I just run. So I, you know, during the winter, I'm always at the gym because it's so cold or icy out, and I don't want to slip. So I usually run a 5K at the very least, sometimes a 10K. And then I don't like spending too much time there. So if I'm running a 5K, I try and do it in 25 minutes or less. If I'm running a 10K, I try and do it in 50 minutes or less. And then I get back home, shower, make dinner. And by 6:30 or 7, I start my evening just like you.
Yeah.
And when I start the evening, I sit down and I'm either leatherworking, or I'm blogging, or I'm researching for the next project, or, you know, working on any of these different things. recently it's changed a little bit because I'm looking into the app development side of things now, and that's something I've never done before. So I had to reach out to a good friend of mine and get some feedback. So all of these things had to get scheduled into the evening. So I schedule it all and I try and get everything crammed in. And throughout the day, the one thing I didn't mention that's very important to me is making sure that I'm always talking to Andrea about things that relate to her life. Mm-hmm. So when we're driving from the house to school to drop her off, I ask her about her plans for the day. So I understand like what progress she's trying to make. And sometimes it, I think sometimes in the beginning, it would make her a little like, not upset, but just, she always wondered why I was always asking about progress.
Right.
And I think as a person, that's just how I am. I like to know that everyone around me is progressing. So right. I keep asking those kinds of questions. And then we plan our evenings out in the morning. And by the time the evening comes around, we'll talk when we're at the gym, or we'll talk like while I'm running the 5K, she'll be next to me. Sure. And we'll talk then. And then when we're eating dinner, we'll talk. And usually I just have her talk to me because I'd rather her tell me about her day and the things she's working on so that she can talk out loud about it. And then when I sit down upstairs and I get to work, I focus. I just get really locked in and I work as hard as I could on each thing. You know, I give it my full attention. But I think it's important to say that the gym part in the evening is really important for me, just like for you. I need that to decompress because after a long day doing one thing, if I just sit down, I feel like my eyes start to glaze over. So I have to do the workout and then I have to shower right after. And then that kind of washes the day away and it lets me get into the mindset for the evening. And sometimes I'll go to sleep late, a little bit later, but most of the time I sleep by 10:30, the latest. But I made it a habit now that at 8 o'clock I don't eat, so I stop eating at 8. And then by 10 o'clock I'm in bed, and then Andrea gets in bed, and then we talk about just life in general. Like we just chit-chat, and we take the evening to not have any technology in front of us.
Right.
You know, like we don't, when we eat, we don't look at our phones. You know, like when she looks at her phone or I look at my phone, we kind of give each other a really hard time about it.
Right.
And it's because we want to always stay connected to each other. You know, like when I'm working on my own thing, that's when she can use her phone or do whatever. But if we are together, we have to intentionally be together.
Sure.
So in the evenings, we do that and then we fall asleep by 10:30 and I wake up and I'm the one who is kind of the alarm clock for her. So I'll wake up, then I'll wake her up, and then her day starts.
Right.
So, and I'm also recognizing the fact that she is not a morning person like I am. Like, she is the total opposite. It's not that she loves staying up late at night, but she loves getting her sleep. And it's not that I don't love getting sleep. I just, I have to get a certain number of hours of sleep, but I don't feel like I can go back to sleep once I'm awake. So in the evenings I used to have trouble falling asleep, but not because of sounds like you. Like, I don't need sounds to fall asleep. I actually need the opposite. I need total darkness in the room, and I have to have very little sound, and then I fall asleep. And then in the mornings when I wake up, I find it hard to lay back down and fall asleep again, because the moment I wake up, I'm like, I have to do something now. I don't know why, I feel that way. So I get out of bed and I do something. Sometimes I'll run, like sometimes before our podcast meetings, I'll go out and run 5 or 10K and then I'll go back home, shower, make breakfast and come in. And we cook everything at my house. Like, we used to eat out for dinner a lot more, but I would say in a month we eat out 3 or 4 times only.
Yeah.
Most of the time we're cooking stuff from scratch, and it was just a habit that I built, I think, ever since college, when I realized how much money I saved from cooking. And then now I enjoy it so much that I use that as another creative outlet that we never talk about too on the podcast. But I use it as a creative outlet to learn new recipes and new things that I've never done before, like making bread from scratch. That's a really cool one now that I love to do. So that's basically a day in my life. It's very similar to yours.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a couple overarching things. Like, for work, I'll typically have like a weekly planner that takes the top three tasks I need to get done that week. Mm-hmm. And I'll have all the jobs I'm working on. I mean, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're working on like one or two things right now. Mm-hmm. And you're primarily focused on like construction for one or two things.
Right.
I have probably 8 to 15 projects at any given time, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of little projects, there's a big project, and then there's, you know, medium stuff kind of sprinkled mm-hmm. in throughout there. And I'm trying to delegate things across the two people that I work with to get all these other things done. And it's kind of like, sometimes it feels like I'm spinning plates in the air. Yeah. Like, how many plates can I keep spinning? Mm-hmm. But I have to be very organized from the top down for the overall week. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I didn't mention is that, like, depending on what day of the week it is, I might have a certain thing scheduled, or I might have a bigger thing, you know, on one day versus another, that kind of gets sprinkled in there. So there are nuances to how things get planned, but for the most part, I think the day goes kind of according to how I described it. Mm-hmm. There are, I mentioned at the beginning that there are crazy days where there's things that come up that, like, you have no idea that they're going to happen that day. You walk, like, I think of it this way. You wake up and you have no idea what the day is going to present to you, mm-hmm. right? So there's some days where it's just a run-of-the-mill sort of like, oh, this is one of those days. And then there's another day where it's just like everything's falling apart, mm-hmm. and like everything's falling down from the clouds. Like, every, you know, it, hopefully not literally the buildings are falling apart. Just like, you know what I mean? And I found that because of the cadences that I've started to establish, it almost doesn't matter, like, whether it's something that's a fire that I need to put out for myself creatively or for a 9-to-5, where there's so much sort of like redundancy that's kind of built into the, and like expectations that I have from myself and my mm-hmm. overall well-being, that even if like everything fell apart on one day during the workday, I'm still gonna either go to the gym and like kind of wash it away, and I'm still gonna do the creative stuff probably later.
Yeah.
You know, having these sort of mechanisms built in, I think, is really important. It's something I didn't learn for years. You know, it's not something that, and that's why I prefaced it at the beginning, like, my schedule sounds very straightforward, but it's something that I had to build for myself over time. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I was just like, you know what, this is my life, you know.
Yeah.
And I had to, I didn't talk about the times where I went for a couple months of just writing every single morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't talk about the times where I switched it up and took a shower at the gym after I worked out in the morning. Mm-hmm. I found that ultimately it made more sense for me to put that at the end of the day, because of how much of a, like, it was more important for it to be a stress reliever than something that's, I got out of the way mm-hmm. in the middle of, in the, before my day even started.
Yeah.
You don't recognize, and it could be completely the opposite of what I'm describing right now for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody might want to just get it out of the way and then have the rest of the day to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But I think that for me, especially somebody juggling so many different things, it's almost like I need to bookend my work day and my work life with something that completely creates a buffer or a barrier between everything else that happens after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I've structured most of my life.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to me that a lot of the things we talked about now in terms of our daily routines will end up changing eventually.
Sure.
You know, like, if we start a practice or whatever, like, it'll end up changing. And I also think that it's good to note, one of the things for me that I have to deal with on a daily basis is the unknown issues that arise. And also things like dealing with bigger, more pressing issues. And the fact that there are people who get anxious about having tasks, right? Like, big things come up. One of the things I was asked recently on, because my project is such a high profile political project, is how do you go home and just kind of sleep at night when something arises on a project in the morning and you know that it'll take you 3 days or 4 days to get a resolution for. And, you know, they didn't ask it in that particular way, but they asked me, when you go home, do you ever lose sleep over some issues on your projects? And I always say no. Like for me, I think I've made it very clear that when I walk out of the office in my mind, I unplug from the office so that I can focus on other things and give those things my all. And in the beginning, when I didn't have those other things, I would go home and think about how I would resolve issues from the office, which is good. But at the same time, it's not my office. It's not like, in a literal sense, I don't own this office. So for me to go home and put more effort into figuring this out at night, especially when I've had a whole day to think about it, sometimes I don't come up with the best answer. Like I need the morning to come up with that answer. And I think it's just a result of having to make so many decisions throughout a day. You're just less aware and less on point by the evening because you've been doing it so long. It's like writing a book and trying to find all your grammatical issues. You know, like I'll read a big book like Tim Ferriss's, and after I read through Tim Ferriss's book, I might have found 10 different grammatical issues. And it's not that they didn't put the attention and care into finding it, but it's like finding a needle in a haystack. And when you're writing so much, or you're designing so long, or you're doing construction for so long, there are things you're going to miss when you're not as aware.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I will definitely say that I think you're, as a, you have a, as a skill, way more of an ability than most people probably to completely disconnect from, especially because I found that there are two kinds of people in maybe even in the world, but I was going to say the profession. There are the people who go to work for a job, and there are people who go to work for a career. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily care any less. It just means that if you go there for a job, you're usually there for a paycheck, you happen to have some skills, and you leave work and you go home and it's fine. If you're worried more about your career, you're constantly worried about whether or not the decisions you're making during the day are long-term affecting how people perceive you over your entire career. Whereas the people who are just there for a paycheck tend to not care about that as much. And that's generalizing really a lot, and there's people that fall somewhere in the middle of the spectrum, but generally I found that there's two kinds of people. I tend to be one of the people that's more the career person, and I found, especially early on in my career, because I didn't want to make any mistakes, I would take that home with me because I wanted to do like the absolute best job that I possibly could. It was only until a couple of years now, like within the last couple of years, that I recognize that people who sort of like you had kind of recognized the fact that like once you leave the office, you have to have a life. Otherwise, you're just going to stress yourself out and make yourself anxious for no reasons almost constantly. And it came down to partners that were just like at the firm I work at now, that just, it's not that they didn't understand that like as problems came up that they weren't problems. But they also recognized that they had to separate them enough so that, one, they could almost internalize. It's like when you step away from something for a while, and then like the solution almost comes to you because your brain has allowed yourself to rest and allowed yourself to kind of come at it from a different point of view. Like your subconscious is working behind the scenes. So there's that one aspect of it. But it's also just to make sure that you're not just a robot. You know, that you're not just, if you let the job just become everything that you are, then you really don't have the life that you're probably trying to cultivate for yourself in the first place. And once I recognized that the partners at that level had almost found that as a life lesson, it became much easier for me to not like like give up on things or stop on things, but to create those structured pieces in my day so that I didn't feel like if somebody else who had way more experience than I did was able to do that disconnect, then I should be able to do that too. It has nothing to do with them technically owning the firm. It has to do with, like you said, high quality management of the not only the projects you're working on, but the problems that arise. So that you're not, like you said, if you mess up a deadline, it's because you didn't plan far enough ahead to figure out that that was going to be an issue. And coming up with more longer-term solutions to things have always been helpful, but when the short-term problems come up, you almost have to tackle them the same way. Like, mm-hmm. is this really going to be the end of the world?
Yeah.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. And once you start recognizing that, but you still come at it with, like, the same amount of care, I feel like your day sort of... It's like you allow yourself and you're, like, kinder to yourself for your day to open up to all those other things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I think the biggest part about not focusing on things from the office after five is that I realized when I first started my career and I started working at the firm, I was always here.
Right.
I was always here because it was a choice that I made.
Sure.
I was here to work on products and do my best on it. But I was also always here because I was working in competitions after five.
Yeah.
And these were all personal endeavors. I was just doing it for fun. And at one point, I started to become known as the person who was always there.
Right.
So people would call me at 9 p.m. and ask me, like, hey, are you still in the office? Can you check if I did this? Can you check if I turned this on or turned this off? And I was like, what am I? Like, you know, why am I here doing this
right.
personal assistance call for everyone, including partners? And I... You know, there was one time where I got a call on Thanksgiving morning and I was just like, no, I'm not in the office. Like, I'm in my house in New York City. I'm far from the office. And at that moment, I realized I need to draw a line because
right.
it started to become something where I was being taken advantage of without other people knowing that they were doing that. And it's not that they were trying to take advantage of me. It's that they saw an opportunity to get something checked and done now and they knew who could do it.
Right.
So I was the person people could rely on for that. And for me, after some time, the other big thing that I'm starting to learn more and more every year is that this is not my business.
Sure.
It's not that I don't want to be a partner here or that, you know, there's no partner track here or anything like that. It's more that in the future, I do want something of my own.
Right.
And how do you have something of your own if you never take the time to build it?
Right.
And so when that 7 o'clock time comes at night for you and I, it's the moment where we can switch in and try and do something on our own and try and build something of our own and try and make
right.
something of ourselves. It becomes more than just your 9 to 5. And it becomes, it's a lot better to be able to focus on those things and unplug from everything else. And I can say in the beginning, it was hard to get to that point to say, it's 5 p.m., I'm not going to think about whatever in the office anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like my email's connected to my personal phone. I can still see emails. Sometimes there's a fire that starts at 5 p.m. and it's like, you know, how do you not think about that? And now it's more, I see it. And in my mind, it's like an auto query that says, just focus on it in the morning. You've got it at 8 o'clock. Get in at 8 o'clock, start looking at it with fresh eyes and get it done.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the evening, it's all about me. It's all about the things I'm trying to do.
I think something that helps with that and that I've actually started trying to do for myself is I stop looking at email at a certain point in the day.
Oh.
And I actually start like, mostly because I've gotten into the habit of looking at the email first thing
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, well, what do I need to address?
Yeah.
And then like there's a point at 3:30, 4. It's not always the same time
mm-hmm.
where I'm just like, there's no point in me looking at more email at this point.
Yeah.
Because just like you said, if there's a fire that needs to be addressed right now, I'll either get a phone call because it's that much of an mm-hmm. emergency or it's something that can absolutely be dealt with the next day.
Right.
And while there are typically, I've found in design and architecture, there are a few emergencies that are really emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
When they are and they happen, everybody is, you know, all hands on deck. But usually, even if there's something that's critical, it's not something that can't be dealt with in, and this doesn't mean to push it off. It just means that, like, you have to separate the two, with church and state. You need to separate, like, one thing from another. And I think that's kind of what we talked about here, you know, is like, how do you separate these things throughout your day
mm-hmm.
in a way that is sustainable and manageable for you?
Yeah. And I think the way that I like to see it for myself is, how do you prioritize your life so that there's longevity for you?
Right.
You know, like, how do you build your life around the ideas of what you envision for yourself in the long run? And
yeah.
I think that's the only way to get there is to have a good schedule that you follow every day. you know, and that you actually devote time to trying those things out. So, all right, guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.